WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The 22-year-old suspect in the killing of Charlie Kirk appeared virtually before a Utah judge a short time ago.
Mr. Robinson, what I also want to do is you have the right to have the charges read that you stand charged of, and I wish to read those to you at this time.
Among the state charges, aggravated murder. CBS's Katrina Kaufman is following the court developments.
Things also work a little bit differently here in Utah. There's no grand jury. Rather, the next step in this process would be a preliminary hearing where the prosecution has to present to the judge evidence to show that they have enough probable cause to move forward with these charges. If the judge thinks that it's sufficient, then we would see an arraignment with Tyler Robinson where he would have an opportunity to plead guilty or not guilty to these charges.
A Utah County attorney says he plans to seek the death penalty. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Average gas prices fell 8 cents per gallon over the last week. The average price in the state on Monday, being $2.88, means prices are 3.9 cents higher than a month ago. However, this is still 8.5 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. More states saw decreases than increases last week, and there's good news on the horizon. The transition to cheaper winter gasoline begins on Tuesday across most of the country. Officials at GasBuddy expect average gas prices to continue to decline in the weeks ahead, as long as hurricane season remains quiet. Prices in central Wisconsin range from $2.71 to $2.81 per gallon. Legislation that would require state employees return to office work passes the state assembly. Joanne Kulatz reports.
The bill's author, Pleasant Prairie Republican Amanda Nedweski, says it simply does what Democratic Governor Tony Evers should have required and that the administration has failed to provide sufficient oversight of state employees who began to work remotely during the COVID pandemic. The measure will need to pass the state Senate before going to Evers, would likely veto it.
The chamber also passed legislation aimed at combating sextortion by providing a penalty for sharing representations depicting nudity, restricting the sorts of flags that would be allowed to be displayed at government buildings in Wisconsin, and exempting tobacco bars from the public smoking ban. Archery and crossbow deer hunting seasons opened on Saturday. These two seasons run through January 4th, though certain counties and metro subunits have extended seasons until January 31st. Reminder that all harvested deer must be registered by 5 p.m. the day after recovery. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers back in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers home this Saturday against the Maryland Terrapins. Wisconsin now 2-1 after their loss in Alabama over the weekend. Baseball, yesterday we told you Brewers manager Pat Murphy read a letter he said was from Bob Uecker to the team after they clinched the spot in the playoffs. Turns out it was another practical joke. Murphy now clarifies he wrote the letter all along. Not Bob.
And it's just a way to honor the man, you know, and kind of put together some words that the players could resonate with, you know, things that he was about, because he's a big part of this thing. And I thought it would be a nice gesture to keep him involved. We brought the picture of him celebrating with us. And, you know, it was really about honoring him. And nobody believed in their right mind that, you know, he could produce a letter like that at this time, but his spirit is with us.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the low 60s. Hot and humid again tomorrow, high in the mid-80s, some showers and storms in the late afternoon, with increasing clouds throughout the day. Storm chances continue tomorrow night, Thursday, and Friday.
We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and a It's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten opener against the Maryland Terrapins. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Pat Kreitlow. On Wednesday, Corrine Hendrickson, a former child care provider, and Francesca Hong, a state legislator, are each looking at making some electoral moves in 2026.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great guest for our next half hour. We're going to be talking primarily about how we don't leave any members of our community out in the cold. We're going to focus on veterans for this half hour. But as everything does when I talk about it, there is connective tissue into every community and every person in our community. And certainly the way that we treat our veterans says a lot about how we treat all of us, how we treat all of our neighbors. And we've got a great guest to talk about all that. His name is Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner. He's from Assembly District 90 up in the Fox River Valley in Green Bay. Welcome to the program, Representative.
Go Pack Go.
Thank you. Pack Go.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited for this season. It's two wins, zero losses, great performances, even on the quick turnaround. Are you folks in Green Bay as excited for this season as I am?
Folks are losing their mind, and I think it's true both in politics and in football, is that love will win. And so we're really, really, really excited about the season. You can't tell a Green Bay Packer fan nothing right now. We think we are Super Bowl bound.
Yeah, it is. It is an exciting time to be a Packer fan indeed. Let's turn our sights to some of the what I'm going to call really negative impacts of the fact that Republicans in the state's biennial budget really were in the driver's seat. The governor proposes the budget, but you gotta get it through. The Robin Voss, let's be clear, the Robin Voss-controlled assembly and the Republican-controlled Senate, they control the Joint Finance Committee. And the governor put in what is an incredibly small amount of funding, right? Yes. It is like less than a couple of million bucks for what is known as, and I want to get the exact name of this correct, the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program, which provides housing for veterans who are unhoused, amongst other services. He had the funding in there to continue that program. Republicans, again, the legislature controlled by Robin Voss and the GOP, pulled that funding out. Tell us where we stand and what has just occurred this past Friday in this critical program for veterans across the Fox River Valley.
And truly thankful for us being able to have this, you know, somewhat sad and tough conversation. To give some more context, people should know how the budget process works. As you know, and your audience probably is fully aware, the governor proposes a budget. Then there are a series of listening sessions that are held throughout the state. I went to the one in Northeast Wisconsin that was held a bit outside of Appleton. And we heard from veterans and so many other people about what they need. And housing was one of the major efforts. We were told by the veterans themselves that these amazing places in Bellevue, Chippewa Falls, and Union Grove, those are the three that we're talking about, that cost $1.9 million to keep going, that without any funding, these would close. There was no political poison pills. There wasn't any issues. This was $1.9 million, an incredibly small amount in the budget. And we heard this over and over again through these listening sessions. Unfortunately, we saw that then the next part of the budget process is a Joint Finance Committee, which is, despite the state legislature being closer to 50-50 than it's ever been, thanks to Region Maps, there's 12 members that are Republican, 12 members are Republican, and four that are Democrats, even though the state legislature is closer to 50-50. That body, by a majority vote, voted to eliminate nearly 600 programs. One of those programs was this effort. Then that budget, at the very last minute, literally days before the due date, was sent to the state legislature to pass. Many of these elements were missing, from school funding to other housing programs to this veterans program in particular that people in my district rely on. There were two attempts to actually reinsert this veterans funding in the Senate that had bipartisan support, and then in the Assembly. They were both voted down by the majority party to do that. So the budget passed without my vote because it did not fund essential services, including our funding for veterans that are experiencing homelessness. And then they were slated to close. We then, in our community, had one of the members of Joint Finance, Senator Eric Wimberger, went to meet with the veterans in our community and asked, why did you vote against this? Mm-hmm. And he blamed the governor. Said that the governor has an imaginary slush fund that he can just pull out and fund this service. And as we all know, you know, not everyone's...
That's also not how budgets work.
And that's
like, it has to be appropriated and then expended. I mean, that's insane.
Right. And so, some regular people were a little confused. And so I was very frustrated because we had actually introduced a bill that had bipartisan support that would fund this program, of which Senator Eric Wimberger has refused to sign on to or support. He's doubled down on pointing fingers. And so this is what's so crazy. People expect their government to do a good job, particularly for the folks who fought under our flag. My family experienced homelessness, and I would never want anyone struggling with that to not get the supports they need, particularly when they've given their lives to serve our country. This is not even a partisan issue. People across the aisle agree. But our broken legislature is rather play politics than actually fund an easy bill. So to your point, what happened on Friday on September 11th, the shelter in preparation for closing, because we don't even have a hearing for this item, asked the last veteran to pack their bags and be placed somewhere else. And so they are slated to close without a floor session being called for either of these bills, for something that Republicans and Democrats actually agree on, because they were left behind by a problematic political process.
We should be clear that some Republicans in the legislature have stood behind. Again, folks, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner. He's the Assembly Rep for the 90th Assembly District in Green Bay. We're talking about the defunding of the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. And let's be clear about who defunded this program. It is Robin Voss and the vast majority of Republicans in our state legislature. Tomorrow, they could call a hearing,
yes,
fast track this, and get the bill before the governor in no time flat, if they wanted to solve this problem.
Right.
They refused to even schedule the bill that has been proposed by my guest and co-sponsored by at least one Republican Ben Franklin. They refused to even schedule a hearing to help out our unhoused veterans in the Fox Valley area. I don't know how any person who says that they support our military, who is proud of being an American, who believes, I think rightly so, that we live in the land of greatest opportunity, how anyone who calls themselves a patriot could ever look themselves in the face and refuse to have this bill called for a hearing in committee, refuse to support it, when you now have veterans that are unhoused or potentially going to be unhoused that weren't before. That is a big fat lie. You may say that that's your value, but unless your actions match that value, that is a lie. I cannot think of anything that should be more anathema to every single Wisconsinite, whatever letter we happen to put behind our names. I'm shocked by this. It is $2 million.
Right.
What? Like, pray tell, do you have any insight into what the objection from Robin Voss and the MAGA regime in our state government's legislature has to providing this essential service for our veterans? What is their objection?
So, you know, this doesn't resonate with me, but this is what I've heard through the grapevine. We've asked this question over and over again. There are some people who believe that these types of services should not be funded by our government. And while I may not agree with that, I'd rather them come out and be more public. If they believe that the government should not be funding our veterans that are experiencing homelessness, and these programs actually do more than just give people access to stabilized homes. If people are experiencing issues with addiction, if they need mental health services, they do wraparound care for the folks who have served our country. And so if someone believes, which I don't, that the government shouldn't be in the business of funding veterans to get on their feet and be protected, I think they should be more honest about that. That is what we've heard, that this is their consternation, is that some people just deeply don't believe that the government should be funding this.
So I want to be really explicit about this because, Ahmad, if I can call you by your first name, because we're friends now. here is what, that is the reality. There is no purpose for government in the eyes of the MAGA movement, vast swaths of it. They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end? Is it going to make people's lives better? That should be the goal of government, whatever its size, right? Like, that is the thing that we're all supposed to be centered around. And if you are so anti-government that you cannot find your way to understanding that the government owes at minimum housing and wraparound social services, addiction treatment, and psychological support to the men and women who have served this country in the military, what are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office. To put some context on this, let's be clear here. The Trump expansion of tax cuts for 100 millionaires and billionaires, okay? I'm just talking about the added tax cuts, not the tax cuts they already got from his tax giveaway for billionaires and the oligarchs in 2017. I'm talking about the big, brutal bill, new additional tax cuts. That is netting the ultra, ultra wealthy. And I'm not talking about you folks that might have a few million in the bank for retirement. You're helping, you're trying to help your kids buy a house or pay for, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people that put their names on buildings, okay? $114 billion a year in just tax cuts. That's the added tax cut in the big, $114 billion a year. Now, we could compare that to anything else in the world, but the estimates from the VA on how much it would cost to house all veterans or to fully fund the Housing First program is nowhere near $114 billion. It's less than $10 billion a year to make sure that every single veteran in our country has the wraparound services that Representative Rivera Wagner has described and to have stable housing. Tell me, people, what is more important to you for your government to do? To give $114 more billion in tax cuts to folks that don't need it and who won't even notice it? It's a rounding error. Or to house veterans? What is our priority? The billionaire class or veterans? Because that's what these choices amount to, folks. Budgets are expressions of our values. We're going to continue to talk about those values and how they are expressed or undermined by our elected officials on the other side. Because what was going to happen this weekend was a pride celebration in northeastern Wisconsin. We're going to talk with Representative Rivera Wagner about what's happening with that celebration next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A bipartisan bill banning members of Congress from owning or trading individual stocks has been introduced in the U.S. House. It appears the reform could pass due in no small part to a tax break sweetener just for members. For years, allegations have plagued members of Congress who allegedly traded stocks on the basis of inside information. The Brennan Center for Justice points to Senator Dianne Feinstein's February 2020 trades prior to pandemic-related market losses and Representative Rob Bresnahan's sale of hospital development bonds only a month after he voted to cut Medicaid and put those hospitals at risk of closure. September 3rd, Republican Representative Chip Roy introduced H.R. 5106, also called the Restore Trust in Congress Act, co-sponsored by Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and 15 others. The bill allows current members 180 days to divest of individual stocks, but allows investing in mutual funds, index funds, municipal bonds, and treasury bonds. But one critic writes in Forbes that the reform comes with a sweetheart deal, allowing members to divest and defer capital gains taxes until after they leave Congress, a huge gift to multimillionaire members. Both House Speaker Mike Johnson and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries have signaled they will support the bill. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined this half hour by a very special guest, and we're talking about something that is so important. I'm joined by Representative Ahmaud Rivera Wagner of Assembly District 90 up in Green Bay. We're talking about the fact that the MAGA regime here in the state of Wisconsin, in our state legislature, refuses to even discuss fulfilling the most basic promise that we give to every man and woman that serves in our military. And that is, if you give up part of your life to defend our freedoms, we will never leave you out in the cold. And what the MAGA regime in this state has done is break that promise. All over a measly $2 million. What they have refused to fund, despite the efforts of the governor and Democrats to put it in the biennial budget, which they pulled out, what they refused to even schedule for a committee hearing to put that funding back after the budget process. The program that we're talking about is the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Representative, you explained that the very last veteran was escorted out, I'm going to say kicked out, by the MAGA regime and GOP legislators in our state legislature, kicked out on Friday. What do you want people to do about this? How do we fix this problem? What should people be activating to try to really, again, fulfill our promise, the social contract with our veterans?
I'm excited because I do think the talking about this has actually created some movement. So while the assembly has refused to host a hearing, for the first time we heard, like within the last 24 hours or 48 hours, that at least Senator Jacques' bill may get a hearing next Wednesday. The irony is that both of these programs will close at the end of the month, and there is still not a scheduled floor session for the Senate until October. So what I'm asking folks to do, and I also want to thank my colleague, Benjamin Franklin, Representative Benjamin Franklin. Yes, that is his name. Yes. He's also a veteran who really are not looking at this as a party issue, but an obligation issue. And so I want to make sure that we also highlight there are Republicans who are attempting to do something, and yet we are still being held back by a broken system where the vast majority of the Republicans in the legislature are refusing to even listen to this problem. So what you can do, one of the best things we can do is that there are two bills that are we are asking for people to support. There is Senator Jacques' bill, which is hopefully going to, it will still work out, gets a hearing next Wednesday. We need folks to let the committee know that they want to see veterans funded, that no veterans should be hitting the street. We have programs in place that we know that they work. The second is the bill that myself, Senator Jamie Wall, and Representative Ryan Spouty, along with Representative Benjamin Franklin, and actually two other Republicans have joined us on, the only bipartisan effort right now that can be seen, would actually get a hearing. Pinterman is the chair of the committee that would be able to hear this bill. And I sent him a letter this week. Myself and Representative Ryan Spouty sent him a letter asking for an immediate hearing of this bill. And just to make sure your listeners understand, there is no poison pills. There is no partisan trickery. There's literally a simple bill that you can find that literally says we're putting $1.9 million into the biennium budget to make sure this program can exist until the next budget cycle. That's all it says. It's less than half a page. This is not political theater. Right now, we're actually in acts of desperation. We should not be sending our veterans home. They're not even necessarily going home. Our homeless veterans onto the streets because we cannot give them $1.9 million. And so we're going to ask your listeners and other people to make sure that Representative Pinterman, as well as during this Senate hearing next Wednesday, support veterans. Get this funding to them and make sure that we can keep them housed. I think you might be muted.
That happens from time to time. Who are the committee chairs that are responsible for scheduling the hearings that folks should be called?
Pinterman is the committee chair in the assembly, Representative Pinterman. And in the assembly, I believe it's either under military affairs or state affairs. We just got that notice recently, so I can make sure your listeners get that shortly.
We will put that in the show notes. We're going to follow up with the representative's office to be sure we have identified those people. I can say this. Call Representative Voss. Flood his voicemail. Tell him to tell the GOP rep that runs, or the GOP senator that runs the Senate committee. I know Voss is on the other side of the house. Call Senator LeMahieu. Call these gentlemen that run the Senate and the Assembly in our legislature and tell them to tell the Republicans that run the committee of jurisdiction on this veterans housing issue to schedule the bills for a hearing. That's your call to action, ladies and gentlemen. Please, please, please make those phone calls. We've got Pinterman and Voss on the assembly side, LeMahieu and potentially Otter Melter, I can speak English. And we will put both of those names in our show notes for today. I'm going to just say this quickly because we're running out of time. Representative Rivera Wagner, thank you for sharing your time with us. You also shared with us the news that Northeastern Wisconsin's Pride Alive event, scheduled for this Saturday, has been canceled over concerns of threats to the community and the potential for violence. These are indeed dark times. Let's unify around our veterans and other issues when we can. Put those phone calls in. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always a pleasure. Folks, we continue. Are you a small business owner or retiree that gets your insurance on the exchanges? You're going to want to stay tuned because you're about to see the biggest sticker shock you've seen in some years, courtesy of whom? Donald Trump and the MAGA regime. Stay tuned. That's coming up next.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A group of legislators gathered in Tolma late last week to discuss expanding rail services between Minneapolis and Chicago. Tolma Mayor Paul Dwyer said the group discussed both cargo and passenger rail, with the focus being more on increasing the ability to move people.
The focus was on passenger rail mostly. There was people from Fort McCoy who were very supportive of rail service because that's how they're looking at moving a lot of their troops now.
Fort McCoy is the largest military base in the state, and Tolma sits between Fort McCoy and the Air National Guard base just a few miles to the east.
So this is huge for Tolma, being right between two major military installations, being Volk Field in Camp Douglas and Fort McCoy at Sparta.
Tolma had been selected to receive grant funds from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act back in 2009. That project was suspended in 2010 by former Governor Jim Doyle before he left office.
If this rail project goes through this time, I think it can be a great catalyst for being able to promote our downtown, bring more people into our downtown. We've seen other communities that have benefited from, you know, more rail activity in their community.
That's Tina Thompson. She's president and CEO of the Tolma Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center.
The nice thing about our downtown being so close to the Amtrak station is that it makes it walkable. Everything is within, all of our shops are within like a mile.
The alternative of relying on a car for transportation is something Stevens Point Representative Vinnie Moresi is on board for. He told the Wisconsin Examiner he would like to see rail service connecting Stevens Point and other central Wisconsin communities to other major cities already on the route. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Rainn Wilson appeared on the Last Laugh podcast last week and said he felt that at times the show The Office went too far with racial and sexist jokes. Wilson, who played Dwight Schrute, said they could never get away with some of the jokes now. Wilson also said that NBC ultimately passed on a spinoff which would have starred the Dwight Schrute character and would have been set on his character's beet farm. The show would have been called The Farm. News from the Emmys, Stephen Colbert presented the best lead actor in a comedy series. Beforehand, Colbert jokingly asked when he got behind the mic if anyone was hiring. Colbert will exit The Late Show in May of 2026. Colbert also joked that he brought his resume and showed the crowd his old headshot. The Late Show host was visibly moved when the crowd started chanting Stephen. Great guy. And by the way, best lead actor in a comedy series went to Seth Rogen for The Studio. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the low 60s. Hot and humid again tomorrow, high in the mid 80s, some showers and storms in the late afternoon, with increasing clouds throughout the day. Storm chances continue tomorrow night, Thursday, and Friday.
We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you.
you're passing through, remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for lieutenant governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Were you a person that was fortunate enough to retire early? So you're not yet qualified to receive Medicaid. Do you own a small business? Are you one of the tens of thousands of people in the state of Wisconsin that obtain their health insurance through one of the Obamacare health exchanges? If so, you know that the annual re-enrollment period is about to start on November 1st. But do you know, I'm almost going to guarantee this, your premiums are about to skyrocket. I'm going to explain why that is happening, even if you are have never been a person that has received a subsidy before to purchase insurance on the exchange ever. So again, you're just somebody who needs health insurance. You don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid. You're not at retirement age. You are probably a small business owner. Maybe you own, you're a solo, I don't know, lawyer. You have your own law firm, or you own a consulting firm or a very small business. Again, you have to go to the exchange to get health insurance. Your premiums, and you've never gotten a subsidy, you think, ah, that big brutal bill, that has nothing to do with me. Oh, it absolutely does. And your premiums are about to skyrocket. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to get to that in just one second. I'm going to explain what's going on and what we can do about it right now. Okay? We've got a window before we hit November 1st. There is a way your premiums are still going to go up, but to keep them from not, I don't know, tripling, quadrupling in some instances, I'm going to tell you what we can do about that, so stay tuned. But to just close out the conversation that I had with Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, thank you so much. He brought our attention to the fact that the MAGA regime, led by Robin Voss and Senator Lemahieu here in the state of Wisconsin, refuses to spend $2 million, which is big money for us individual little people, but it is not big money for the state of Wisconsin, refuse to spend $2 million to take care of our veterans appropriately. That would be funding to refund the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. They have kicked all of the veterans out of this emergency housing. Here are the folks that you need to be calling. I looked up their names and numbers during the break. So if you've got a pen or pencil ready, I'm going to drop their names and numbers. Okay, first off, on the Senate side, the chairperson of the Veterans Committee, and it is a big old mouthful, it is the Wisconsin Senate Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs and Constitution and Federalism. Okay, that mouthful. The guy that chairs that committee that would be responsible for scheduling a hearing on the Senate bill that proposes to refund this, oh yes, it's bipartisan, Republican Andre Jacques supports this bill. This guy's name is Eric Wimberger. Wimberger, okay? Here is his information. I got to scroll down. He's got a huge page here. Got to get to his contact info. This is for State Senate District 30. His contact info. Do you have your pen and paper ready? 608-266-5670. 608-266-5670. You can email him at sen.wimberger@legis.wisconsin.gov. That's sen.wimberger@legis.wisconsin.gov. Okay, on the assembly side, the guy that heads the State Assembly Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs is Representative William Penterman of Assembly District 38. Here's his number, 608-237-9138. That's 608-237-9138. And his email is rep.penterman, P-E-N-T-E-R-M-A-N, at legis.wisconsin.gov. Of course, we will provide the contact information for Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, as well as Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Blow up their phones and emails. Tell them, schedule the bill and fund the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program, for crying out loud. This just should not be this hard. Okay, now that I have that bit of business out of the way, let me explain to you how the MAGA regime and Trump's big, brutal bill, the MAGA regime's commitment to not regular people, commitment to 100 millionaires and the billionaire class, and their desire to give people like that tax cuts that they don't need, that amount to rounding errors. Here's what is happening when it comes to solo practitioners, small business owners. Maybe you're a consultant. Maybe you're an early retiree, not yet qualified for Medicaid. I'm talking about the people that get their health insurance from the ACA marketplace. People who don't and never have received a subsidy. Now, the big brutal bill and what got all the action was, of course, the cuts to Medicaid. They're going to push millions of people off of Medicaid. The action was about the fact that they got rid of subsidies for people, basically all of the subsidies for anyone that's 131% above the poverty line and above, which, again, the poverty line is ridiculously low. I think it's around like 20, 22,000. Okay, so they got rid of all those subsidies. So when things get more expensive, this is I'm going back to basic microeconomics. When things get more expensive, demand goes down, all else being equal. Okay? So because of the big brutal bill, here's what's going to happen. Insurance will be more expensive because the subsidies are gone. What happens when something is more expensive because the subsidies are gone? Fewer people will buy it. Translated into health insurance speak, what does that mean? It means healthier people that are like, ugh, it costs too much now. I'm just going to pass on getting the insurance. They'll just opt out. Or they may opt to buy what has been newly made available due to a lawsuit brought by Josh Call and other Democratic attorneys general, expanded catastrophic health insurance coverage, which is cheaper. Okay, so it was going to be expensive before. After the big brutal bill, more expensive than we expected. And now, because of a lawsuit that was filed in the last couple of months, the feds, Donald Trump, decided, oh, we'll make catastrophic health insurance coverage more available for people. So that means even more people will opt out of regular health insurance. Every time people opt out of insurance because they have a cheaper option, read catastrophic insurance, or because the insurance has just gotten way too expensive for them, every time the people opt out, they tend to be the healthy people, leaving a smaller pool of people that are insured by that particular carrier who are less healthy, that are sicker. Okay? Insurance as a product relies upon risk pooling. You need healthy people buying insurance alongside sick people. Otherwise, it doesn't work, right? The insurance carrier can't pay for the health care that is needed for the super sick people if you don't have healthy people who need less care paying into the system as well. It's literally how insurance works. So what is happening here in Wisconsin? And I'm going to focus on the Fox River Valley as an example. What is happening here in Wisconsin is we have had both nonprofit health insurance carriers and for-profit health insurance carriers that have agreed and are meeting all of the federal regulations and all of the, it's very complicated, who are qualified and registered to provide health insurance through the ACA enrollment portals, okay? It's not every Tom, Dick, and Harry health insurance company can be like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. No. You got to, lots of regulations around that. In the Fox River Valley, there were seven total carriers that were authorized to provide health insurance coverage through this portal this coming year. They were required under legislation from the Biden administration to disclose what their health insurance premium rate increases were going to be for 2026. They submitted those before the big brutal bill passed and before there was this additional safety valve opened up of the catastrophic insurance. Can you see where I'm going with this? So they submit their rate increases to the Officer of the Commissioner of Insurance here in the state of Wisconsin. Now, the legal landscape has changed. And what the legal landscape changing means is that now the people who will be obtaining insurance from any of these seven carriers, four nonprofits, three for-profits, are going to see their premiums absolutely explode. I'm not talking about doubling. I'm talking about tripling and quadrupling. Last year, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities calculated, and this is going to be higher than what they calculated last year because of the catastrophic thing, which just happened because of the lawsuit, which was just filed, okay? Stay with me. Before even that last chink in the armor, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities calculated how the cost would change with these changes that were anticipated, at least partially, through the big brutal bill. It's worse than what they thought it was going to be. So again, all of these figures are likely to be worse. An average 60-year-old couple making $82,000 a year may see their annual premium costs increase from $7,000 to $26,000. And it will be worse than the $26,000 because of this, the new leakage into the catastrophic plans that just happened within the last month or so. It will be worse than that, okay? That is a $20,000 increase for a couple making $82,000. That's a quarter of their income before they've paid for housing or a slice of bread. They're not going to be able to buy that insurance. It is prohibitively expensive. And by the way, those numbers will actually likely be worse. So, let's zoom in. This is basically what has happened in the Fox River Valley since those seven health insurance carriers that are authorized to provide health insurance, not the catastrophic kind, just the regular health insurance through the ACA portals, okay? After the true expanse, the impact, the negative downside of the big brutal bill came out and this catastrophic coverage loophole was created by the Trump administration, one of those carriers has now dropped out. And that is going to have impacts on those other carriers. I'm going to tell you what these trickle down, these domino impacts are. The risk pool explosion that is about to go down in the state of Wisconsin and what we can do about it. Don't go anywhere. This is information you've got to hear. I continue to break it down next. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by The Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you missed my setup here, what I have been explaining is what is about to blow up on November 1st. Millions of Americans across our country are about to enter the ACA exchange. We're talking about small business owners, solo, but folks that, you know, run just their own consulting company by themselves. Maybe they got a friend and it's just the two of them, whatever it is. Or early retirees, people who have never gotten any subsidies for their health insurance are about to log on and their premiums are going to explode. Of course, the people that got subsidies before, their premiums are going to explode too because no subsidy. That then bumps into, it causes an effect of healthy people exiting the health insurance market. That means the people left that are buying the insurance through the exchanges will be less healthy and there will be fewer of them. That means there's greater cost for any insurance carriers. Now, let's be clear here. Health care in the United States is broken. It doesn't work for anybody. And the for-profit health insurance carriers, man, they're gouging all of us. But let's not miss who is responsible here. It is Republicans and Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. Now, when we zoom in very micro here, I'm taking the Fox Valley as an example. There were 7 insurance carriers for 2025 on the exchange. 4 of them were nonprofits. So if you want to be ticked off at insurance companies, maybe it's not the nonprofits that are basically trying to not make a penny, but just help people get insurance at the most affordable rates they can. Okay? So we got 7 of them, 3 for profit, 4 nonprofit in Fox Valley. They all put in, before Big Brutal Bill, what their rate increases might be. The nonprofits, their rate increases were between 9 and 12% over last year's. You want to guess what the increase was for the 3 for-profits? 31 to 34%. We're talking about Anthem and United. I forget what the other one is. So huge, huge, major difference. Now, with the lawsuit that was brought by Democratic attorneys generals, one of the like stopgaps that the Trump administration was like, oh, yeah, we can kill the subsidies for no reason at all just to give, you know, millions, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars to billionaires that don't need it and who won't notice the tax break anyways. Yeah. That problem. They responded by creating this catastrophic, well, maybe people can get this catastrophic coverage, which is basically like if you almost die in a car accident, you're good. But if you get some long-term illness or some slow-moving thing, you're not good. Like, no coverage for that. It's life-threatening stuff and nothing else. More people will exit and just buy that. So what you are having is this incredibly much more risky and smaller pool of insureds. That puts upward pressure on your premiums. Now, in the Fox Valley, one of those nonprofit insurers won't be offering health insurance. That means the 10,000-plus insureds that were covered by that carrier move onto the balance sheet of the other insurance companies. Now, 3 remaining nonprofit insurance carriers and the 3 for-profits. Because the nonprofit insurance carriers in the Fox Valley can't absorb those very, very high-risk people under the conditions that the MAGA regime has created to basically blow up the exchanges, that was always the point here. It wasn't to allow the ACA to continue. It was to kill it. It wasn't about efficiency. It was to kill the ACA to do what they could not do legislatively. Guess what's happening? 2 of those other nonprofit insurance carriers are dropping out of the exchange. Their patients, 10, 20,000 of them, now have to go to these other providers. There's only 1 nonprofit carrier that will be left standing in the ACA exchange covering the Fox Valley. What's going to happen? They're going to have to bow out because they cannot literally hemorrhage money. They're a nonprofit. They don't have to make any profits. They're not looking to do that, but they will not be able to make the actuarial, the risk math work, and they will drop out. And what will that do? It will force everybody to these for-profit health insurance companies in a healthcare system that is already broken, that the GOP and the MAGA regime has never, ever, ever proposed any solution for. Remember Trump before? Oh, yeah, we got binders of ideas and things, and never a plan. People will be paying tens of thousands of dollars more if they can maybe make it work. But what is more likely to happen is that more people will be sicker and more people will die in the Fox Valley because of this. There are 2 solutions. The first one is that Congress refunds, reinvigorates the subsidies. That's critical. We want people to have health insurance, for crying out loud. It makes it cheaper for all of us that get it through our employers. If people don't have insurance, they show up in emergency rooms, and it drives everybody in the private sector markets. Our premiums go up. We need Congress to refund the subsidies. And in the immediate term, what we need the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, a man who has been a guest on this program, what we need him to do, and this is only the short-term fix for 2026, what we need him to do is what he doesn't want to do, I think, and I'm going to speculate a reason, but let me just tell you what we need him to do. I want you all to call the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, and I want you all to tell him to allow the health carriers, the insurance carriers through the ACA to re-rate their rates for 2026. He's refusing to do so. It's going to drive all of the nonprofit carriers out of the space, leaving only those dastardly for-profit health insurance carriers left. It will cause people in this state to be sicker and to die. Call the OCI. Tell them to allow the companies to re-rate. This should be a no-brainer. I'm going to have a special guest tomorrow to talk about this more. You're not going to want to miss. Senator Chris Dostler-Alfheim joins me to discuss this slow-moving catastrophe that's about to hit the fan on November 1st. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it's always best when we stand.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The suspect in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk made a brief virtual court appearance today in Utah.
Could you state your name?
Tyler James Robinson.
Earlier, Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray announced state charges against Robinson and said he would seek the death penalty. Gray says Robinson wrote a note to his roommate.
The roommate looked under the keyboard and found a note that stated, quote, "I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it."
Former federal prosecutor Scott Fredrickson.
On top of that, we have very strong physical evidence compiled by the government so far. You've got DNA evidence. You've got the rifle that seems to be associated with him through a gift from his parents, his grandfather's rifle. So a really overwhelming case.
Robinson remained silent as the charges against him were read. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.